Hi, this is Andrew Phillips. Thank you for downloading the Graymeer Church of Christ Sermon Podcast. If you have any questions or if you'd like to contact us, check out our website at graymeer.com. We'd also love for you to visit with us in a worship service. You're always welcome at the Graymeer Church of Christ.
It's going to be wonderful, and I am privileged to be here with you this morning in his absence. I want you to make sure that you don't forget, we will have it announced as well at the end of the service, but there is a VBS meeting, very important VBS meeting today at 5 p.m. in the small auditorium. And if you want to sign up to help for VBS, do not wait. Tell me or Catherine, and we will get you signed up for VBS. We will put you in a spot. We need all the help that we can get, especially me. I need all the help that I can get. I really do. But still need help with refreshments, some water, juice, and especially our homemade ice cream for Wednesday. If you don't know how to make homemade ice cream, just bring some ice cream for that Wednesday of VBS, and we're going to have an ice cream social after that. But it is going to be great, and we're looking forward to VBS. That is 2 weeks from today, so just 14 days away, 2 weeks from today. I want to invite you to turn in your Bibles to Joshua chapter 6. Joshua chapter 6. And we're going to be camping out in Joshua chapter 6 for the most of the sermon this morning. And I want to tell you this morning that I still believe in God's promises. I still believe in God's promises. And that's something that I feel that you can't be fickle about. You have to have confidence that God will deliver on His promises, because He will. He is just. He is faithful. He will not allow us to be tempted beyond what you are able. He will provide a way out. He will be our shelter in a time of storm. He will protect us if we put our trust in Him. These are just a few of His promises. But I want to talk to you this morning about stopping short of those promises that God has spoken already in your life. Let's go straight to the text and look at Joshua chapter 6. Verses 1 through 15. Joshua chapter 6. Now Jericho, and this is a familiar story, but I want you to stay with me this morning. Jericho was shut up inside and outside because of the people of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have given Jericho into your hand with its king and its mighty men of valor. You shall march around the city, all the men of war going around the city once. Thus you shall do for 6 days. Verse 4. 7 priests shall bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. And on the 7th day you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. And when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, you will hear the sound of the trumpet. Then all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city will fall down flat. And the people shall go up, everyone straight before him." So Joshua the son of Nun told the priests and said to them, "Take up the ark of the covenant, and let 7 priests bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord." And he said to the people, "Go forward, march around the city, and let the armed men pass before the ark of the Lord." Verse 8. And just as Joshua had commanded the people, the 7 priests bearing the 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the Lord went forward, blowing the trumpets, and with the ark of the covenant of the Lord following him. And the armed men were walking before the priests who were blowing the trumpets, and the rear guard was walking after the ark, while the trumpets blew continually. Verse 10. But Joshua commanded the people, "You shall not shout or make your voice heard, neither shall any word go out of your mouth until the day that I tell you to shout. Then you shall shout." So he caused the ark of the Lord to circle the city, going about it once, and they came into the camp and spent the night in the camp. Verse 12. Then Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priests took up the ark of the Lord. And the 7 priests bearing the 7 trumpets of ram's horns brought the ark before the ark of the Lord, walked on, and blew the trumpets continually. And the armed men were walking before them, and the rear guard was walking after the ark of the Lord, and while the trumpets blew continually. And the 2nd day they marched around the city once and returned to the camp. So they did for 6 days. The title of my message this morning is "Don't Stop on 6. Maybe you came to worship this morning feeling a little worn out. I don't know what it is. Maybe you have come here and you're dealing with family issues. Maybe you're dealing with financial problems. Maybe you're dealing with a divorce in your family. Maybe you're dealing with something else that only God knows. But maybe you came here this morning and you're just a little confused and you're a little frustrated about a situation in your life. I want to encourage you this morning to not stop on 6. I'll explain what that means here in just a little bit. How many of you like to start things? I'm a starter. I like to start things. I have no shortage of great ideas, and I have no shortage of motivation to get those ideas started. But one of my biggest faults in my personal life is that I'm a starter. I can get really fired up about something. I can get someone else really fired up about something, and then I may not deliver. I don't finish. But I'm sure this morning this is the same thing for you. I don't want God to think of me as a finisher. Excuse me, I don't want God to think of me as a starter. I want to see Him to see me as a finisher. That I finish what I started. Because it's not how you start, it's how you finish. Just ask the 2007 New England Patriots. The 2007 Patriots, I'm sure you're familiar with the story, were chasing history. Never before had a team in the modern era of NFL football went undefeated and won the Super Bowl. Never before had that happened. Now, of course, the 72 Dolphins had done it, and they had went 16-0 and won, but that had been 40 years ago. But no team in the modern era had went undefeated, and the Patriots were one game away, and they were defeated by the New York Giants in Super Bowl 42. It's not how you start. It's how you finish. Sometimes we don't finish. Sometimes we stop short of what God has promised us. And in this very room, this morning, there are unfulfilled promises in the lives of people that love God. We are stopping short of some of those promises, and we have not possessed some of those promises. And we're going to talk about the children of Israel this morning. We're going to talk about how the children of Israel had an obstacle. They were going to possess this promise. We're going to talk about two different reasons why those promises that God has already spoken into our lives, we don't possess them. Number one this morning, your perspective gets blocked. Your perspective gets blocked. In this passage that we just got through reading, there's a lot of repetition. There's a lot of, they went before this and they went before this, just to show that they were doing it exactly like the Lord had asked them to. But this, you'll note, is the first battle that the children of Israel would fight in order to possess the land of promise that God was going to promise them for generations. God started with Abraham. He led them out of Egyptian bondage. He promised them He would bless the nation of Israel through him. He led them out of Egyptian slavery through Moses. Then from Moses, Joshua was selected here as the general who would lead the Israelite army and take back the land. But there's a problem. You see, there's always a problem between you and God's promises. There's always a problem between your possession of God's promise. That problem here in this passage is Jericho. In verse 1, I want you to look at it with me. In verse 1, I don't know what your version says, but I'm reading from the ESV, and it says that Jericho was shut up inside. They were on lockdown. It was going to be impossible to get in. But I want you to understand this morning, and I want you to think about this question. How many of you know that impossible situations are not intimidating to God? Impossible situations are not intimidating to God. And furthermore, the sign that something is shut up or locked down in your life today may not be a sign that you're not going to get in. That may be not a sign that you're going to resolve that issue, but it may be a sign that the enemy knows that he can't keep you out. If you look closely at this scripture, the people of Jericho had the city locked down. Why? Because of the Israelites. They had heard about the great deeds that God had done for them. They had heard about how God had brought them across the Jordan River and that the miracles that He had delivered them from the hand of Pharaoh. And they were scared. Because some of the stuff that you're scared of is just a sign that the enemy is also scared of you. God then says something really funny, I think, in verse 2, if you look with me. Verse 2, He says, "See, I have given Jericho into your hand." The battle hasn't happened yet. How is God able to say this? Well, it's because He's God. Only God can do that. But I have a major problem with this. Because these two scriptures, if you read verses just 1 and 2, they don't add up. If you're a math major in the room and you're teaching arithmetic, these things just don't add up. Imagine if I told you today that God was going to take care of you in your life. That He was going to bless you with a long and full life. But you went to the doctor tomorrow and you had a cancer diagnosis. This is kind of the idea in verses 1 and 2. Verse 1 says, the situation looks impossible. Verse 2, God says, I got this. Sometimes what we see doesn't line up or doesn't look anything like what God has said. See, it's important for us to understand the difference. What God has said sometimes doesn't look like what we see. When I stand up here, when the preacher stands up here, when Andrew stands up here every single week and preaches a sermon on joy and hope and forgiveness, and you go home feeling as if you have none of those qualities, how does that feel? What do you do when you are tried to be encouraged here at worship about peace and joy and love, and your home is filled with anything but? What do you do? Sometimes what God says is not what we see. And the enemy, the devil, will use this as the tool. This may be his greatest tool against us, is to make us not see what God has promised us. He loves to use our problems to distort and block our perspective. You see, Jericho wasn't a big city. I don't know if you're familiar with the city of Jericho or how big it was or anything like that, but it actually wasn't a big city. You could probably take the entire city of Jericho and put it on the plot of land that Greymere sits on right now. It really wasn't all that big. To march around it, they said, was probably not even more than a mile and a half. There was only 10,000 people, 8,000 to 10,000 people in the city of Jericho. The children of Israel, the Israelite army, outnumbered them 10 to 1. It's interesting. Could they have poured soldiers at this and overcame them? Yeah, of course. They could have even gotten over the double-walled structure that Jericho had. Had this double-walled structure, the walls were very high, and archers would pick the soldiers off from coming over the first wall to the second wall, so you would lose a lot of soldiers, but you would eventually break through no problem, especially outnumbering them so bad. But this wasn't how God wanted to do things. He just didn't want to throw the army at this problem. There are only a few ways. I got to talk with a friend of mine who went to war college in Maryland, actually. And there's been a big shift in the last 10 to 15 years of fighting in Iraq and Afghanistan in urban combat environments. And there's only a certain number of ways that you can deal with a walled structure or a walled city. There's only a few different ways. And God here, it looks like, just discards all of those. Because it's sometimes, in order to be victorious, you got to do something ridiculous. Because sometimes to win the battle God's way, you've got to be willing to do some stuff that makes no sense. And that's even in our lives in 2015. Why do we come to church? Think about that larger idea. Why are you here this morning? Why do we meet every week? Why do we take the Lord's Supper to remind us of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection every single week? Why do we do that? Well, it's because it can lift our perspective to see above the walls. If all you ever see is problems in your life, walls, it doesn't matter what we see sometimes, it matters what God says. What Joshua sees here is different from his reality, and that reality is what God says. No matter what you're looking at, it's not a sign that you'll never get in. It might just be a sign that the devil is scared of you. And the devil is scared that you might figure it out, and he's gotten desperate because he knows that he can't keep you out much longer. We're really not talking about Jericho today, are we? We're talking about your personal Jericho. We're talking about maybe the problems that you have built up in your life, built up in your own lives, and you can't see past those walls. God says that his reality is something entirely different. So what kind of walls have you built up in your life? What kind of things have you said to yourself? Maybe we talked about insecurity last week in the Bible class and about Moses. What kind of things have you told yourself, or what kind of things have other people said to you that have caused you to build walls in your life? My family problems will never be resolved. I'll never get out of debt. I'll never do these different things. I'll never be able to serve God as fully and wholly as I want to. On and on and on and on. The enemy will erect those walls, but praise will help you see above those walls. Number 2 this morning, Maybe one of the reasons why we don't embrace the promises that God has already spoken in our life is because our progress isn't obvious. I want you to look at verse 3 of chapter 6. We won't go very deep into this scripture. We're just going to concentrate on the first few verses. But verse 3 of chapter 6, what does it say? It gives the instructions. He says, "You shall march around the city, all the men of war going around the city once. Thus shall you do for 6 days. After 6 days, nothing. After 6 days, you got to keep going." You would think that if God wanted to motivate His people, He would have let a few bricks fall or something. He would have let something happen. He would have let the ground shake. He would have let people get mad. Something to happen. And we might say the same thing. We might want to look at the children of Israel and say, well, they needed to just trust in God more. They needed to have more faith. And we might say the same thing. You know, Lord, if you want me to keep walking, I'm going to need to see that it's working. And God kind of answers, it doesn't work like that. You see, in life the same thing happens. We will march and we will march and we will march and we will march and we will not see any results in our life. We won't see any bricks falling. This is the way it feels maybe when we read our Bible and we don't understand it. This is the way it feels when we pray and we feel like our prayers are sometimes bouncing off the ceiling, that God is hearing nothing that we say. And then God says, walk by faith, not by sight. Have faith that I am working even when it seems that I am not working at all. You see, we can see the end of this story. We can see this progress. We can see the walls fall. We can read on in the latter part of chapter 6. And we can see all the celebration and the feasts and the fist bumping and everything and all the celebration. I mean, just we can see all that. We can't see that in our own lives. We don't have a crystal ball. We can't see the end of the story. Remember, for 6 days, nothing happened. For 6 days, not a brick fell. 6 always represents the number of man. 666 is the mark of the beast. It represents man without God. 6 laps, nothing happens. Brings up an interesting question this morning for you, and for me as well. Will we do God's will, even when it doesn't work? Will you forgive even when they don't return the favor? Will you continue to trust when you see no results? Honestly, if I prayed and every prayer that I prayed was granted at the time that I prayed it, I'd be praying 24/7. I'd be running into telephone poles and stuff with my car and be praying nonstop. And you would do the same thing if every prayer and every request that you gave to God was granted, you would be praying nonstop. But sometimes I pray and nothing happens. But will I still pray? You see, progress is motivating, is it not? We are visual creatures. We like to see visual progress. Imagine if you're trying to lose some weight and you didn't lose the weight until it was all said and done. You worked out for 3 months and you woke up one morning 30 pounds lighter. Doesn't work like that. Progress is motivating. God doesn't design His miracle here, and this is what it is. It's a miracle. He doesn't design His miracle with visual progress in mind. It's not like playing Tetris, okay? Y'all remember this game? Everybody in the room that was born after 1995 is sitting here going, huh? Right? But y'all remember this game. It was a super addicting game. You complete one line and the line disappears. What if the children of Israel walked around the wall the first day and a seventh of the wall disappeared? Yeah! It would be very motivating. They would be motivated because progress and visual progress is motivating. But God doesn't do that. Why? Maybe because by not showing us that it's working, He's causing a deeper working within us. Maybe the reason God lets us walk around walls seeing no progress is to teach us obedience rather than being rewarded necessarily. We can focus on obedience rather than progress. I read this in a book not too long ago. This has become one of my favorite quotes. Outcome is God's responsibility. Obedience is yours. Nothing was happening to the wall while they were marching, but the obedience training that those children of Israel were getting was preparing them for the promise that they were about to receive. And one of the most interesting things that I think sometimes we look over in this scripture, one of the most interesting things is that Joshua never puts a time frame on this for his soldiers, for the children of Israel here. God tells him how many days that they're supposed to walk around the thing, but he doesn't convey that information to them. For all they know, all these possibly hundreds of thousands of soldiers know, all they know, they're going to be doing this for a year. How long can you put up with something? How long will you worship God when you don't see direct results? How long will you hold on to your faith when you go off to college? How long? What if you were to quit on the sixth lap? What if you were so close to the finish and you just quit? The old saying goes, winners never quit and quitters never win. It's all about faith and obedience. I just want to share a few passages with you this morning before we end our message this morning. Psalm 119, verse 130. David says, I have chosen the way of faithfulness. I have set your rules before me. It's important to understand that God rules, and God's rules are incredibly important to follow. Exodus 23, verse 22. It says, but if you carefully obey His voice and do all that I say, then I will be an enemy to your enemies and an adversary to your adversaries. I love that scripture because it tells us two things. One, we have to listen to the right voice. The voice you believe, we talked about this last week in class, the voice that you believe will determine the future that you experience. If you believe God's voice, it says that He will be an enemy to our enemy and an adversary to our adversaries. He's going to be on our side. That's comforting. John 14:15, Jesus says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. This morning I want to encourage you, don't stop on six. Obey God in the fullest sense. Follow through. Finish what you started. It may seem like the finish line as young people is way far away. As older people, it may seem like the finish line is getting pretty close. But don't let your perspective be blocked. Don't let lose heart when you see progress. The scripture that was read for us just a minute ago, Galatians 6, verse 9, let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not give up. I want to encourage you this morning, don't stop on six. If you need prayers from the congregation this morning, if you need to be forgiven of your sins, if you need to come forward and you need to talk to an elder or a minister, we can do that for you this morning. If you need to be baptized, and what does that mean? That means becoming a child of God. That means saying, I believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and I want to give my life to Him. I want to dedicate that to Him. We can do that this morning for you as well. Why don't you come right now? Don't wait while we stand and while we sing.